Now, how long, you've only come to Christ not very long ago, is that correct? How long have you been a Christian for? No, but when you came back to Christ, when did you? About 4 weeks. That's when you got born again, was 4 weeks ago. Yeah. Praise God. In 4 weeks, he's filled with the Holy Ghost and on fire for God. How amazing is that? Praise God. And, you know, the scripture that comes to my mind, just jumping out of the word that came there this morning about speaking in tongues. Let's just quickly go to Romans, if you've got your Bibles there with me. Who's got their Bibles? Wave it around. Yeah, some of you. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans 8. I wasn't prepared for this, but it's here. Praise God. It says that the Spirit intercedes. The Spirit himself bears witness, the Bible says, with our spirit that we are. I'm picking up here in verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness. This gentleman came across when I was sitting up the back there before church, and he said hi, and we exchanged a couple words, and he said, "Oh, I've got the buzz going all over me as soon as I hear you speak." I said, "That is the Spirit bearing witness. That is the Holy Ghost in me and the Holy Ghost in you, and there's a connection and there's a witness that's happening, and the Spirit of God is bearing witness with your spirit, and you feel it go right through your whole body." That's, you can call that what you like. That's the presence of God. That's the move of God. That's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to live like that, where we have that inner witness, where the Spirit of God is not a wish, but he's a reality in our lives. Where you know that you know that you know that you're saved, A, because the Word of God says you are. If you've given your life to Christ, you're standing on the Word of God. You're not standing on your emotions or what others say. You're standing on what God's Word says. Amen. However, when that witness of the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, that's God's gentle reminder to you and I on the inside that we are his children. It's all through the Bible. Let's find another verse. Let's go to 2 Corinthians now. Come on, we're going to do a quick Bible study here this morning. 2 Corinthians, who's ready for this? Chapter 5 and verse 5. Here it comes again. Here's what it says. It says, now he has prepared us for this very thing. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. It's a guarantee. So we are always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is given to you and I as a guarantee. We haven't got the end result, which is life in paradise with God in heaven for all eternity. We are not in that kind of presence of the Lord, but we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's like a down payment. It's a deposit. My old Bible used to say, I think my living Bible I used to read, you say, it's a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Oh, glory. That's that deposit guaranteeing what is to come that you felt going off inside you this morning. Isn't that amazing? And many of you felt it during the worship. You felt it as you started to talk and mingle. As soon as you walked into this place, as soon as the service began, you could feel the presence of God just draw everyone. Who could reconcile with that this morning? Who could feel that? That's the guarantee. Come on, there's nothing like living for God. But I got to tell you, you don't get this in every church. And I don't want this to sound divisive, but Pentecost is where you get this. That's where I got it anyway. I can tell you from my own experience. I grew up in an old church for 23 years of my life, and I never experienced that. And then I walked into a church of strangers, people I'd never met ever before, and within a couple of weeks, it felt like they were my family, that I'd known them for years. Why? Because we had that same inner witness. The Spirit, I actually got saved when I went in there. I thought I was until I went there, and I thought, it's truth, I haven't got what these guys have got. Something different about this lot to what I've ever known. And that was a bit of a pride, humbling thing for me to have to realize that I didn't have what I thought I had. It's a good day when you realize you don't have what you think you got. Amen. God can actually help you. Until then, He can't help you. That's called humility. It's all right to have a dose of that every once in a while. Better if it comes from yourself than from an outside source. It's much better to humble yourself. God doesn't humble you. He says you got to humble yourself. But life gets really, really rough and tough and horrible until we cross that bridge where we say, God, I need help. Well, what are people going to say? Oh, well, be more worried about that and don't get help. Or, you know what I'm saying? You have to step over that. That's called pride. The fear of man, the Bible says, will be a snare. And that's what happened to me when I first came to a church like this. And the preacher was calling people at the end of the meeting whose lives weren't right with God. He said, if your life's not right with God, you need to come out the front here. If that's you, just put up your hand. And man, everything on the inside of me wanted me to put up my hand. I knew I needed to, I had to, but my mind would not let me. I was bound. I could not respond because of pride and the fear of men. The fear of what other people might think. Well, bloomin', no one even hardly knew me. But yet, it was my perception of what I was thinking. And you know what it's like. When someone does come to the Lord, you think, oh, praise God, no one's thinking anything bad about them. But you think they're thinking that. And so often we think they're thinking what they're thinking, and what they're thinking is what we think they're thinking is not actually what they really are thinking. And if we could just stop doing that, things would just work out a whole lot better. Praise God. Is anybody with me here today? Amen. Oh, I'm just excited. I just feel like God's about to break out in this place here today. I don't know which way to go right now, but we'll start with the Word. Let's just let the Holy Spirit ride here today. Let's just start off, see how far we can get, in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It's not with wise and persuasive words. Paul said this. He says, I don't come to you with eloquent speech, even though of all people, Paul was the one who could. He was incredibly educated. He was trained by the most highest regarded institutions and teachers of the law. He'd achieved and excelled in every area of study in the law and in the synagogue and in the Jewish faith. But yet he said, I don't come to you with wise and eloquent speech, but rather with a demonstration of the power of God. See, we've got to choose between the two. You can have both, but one has to be supreme over the other. Our wisdom is foolishness to God. His ways are higher than our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are His ways above our ways. Oh, I'm so glad for the Word of God. You know, the Bible, you don't get it by information. The words in your Bible don't come to you as information. They don't help you very much as information. They help you as revelation. When the Holy Spirit breathes on the Word of God and it's revealed, you can't see it with your natural eye until it is revealed to you. And the thing that stops the Word of God being revealed is our reliance on our natural intelligence and our natural abilities. It says that we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not by our natural abilities that we can attain these things. You can't get a revelation by your cleverness. You can only get a revelation by spiritual desire and hunger in your life. And that only is allowed to be released from you when humility abounds. It's humility that enables us to reach out to God. And it's just fear and pride that stops all of that. But oh, when we can just come to that place. Oh, glory. A certain woman, the Bible says in Mark 5. A certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She'd suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had. Everybody say, all she had. She'd spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She'd spent everything. She was, I would say, she would have been either a widow or perhaps a single woman who was never married, because it said she spent all she had. Otherwise, it was she would have spent all what her husband had. Amen. And that's not meant to be a joke, although it kind of is funny. But she'd spent all she had. The husbands were normally the providers, and there's no indication of that. She just was run out. Now, right there, this woman could have had two choices. One choice, which is how many people will go, she'd say, "Oh, well, I'm just the worst person in the street. No one's going through life as tough as what I am. I'm not only sick, but I'm getting sicker, and the doctors can't help me. And to make matters worse, I've spent all that I've had, and I'm getting worse and worse and worse. Poor me." Is that what she did? No. Let's read on. She was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus. Oh, come on. She heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. Romans 10:14 says, How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? How's anyone going to believe on God unless they hear about him? Amen. They come here, they'll hear about him. They talk to this man, they'll hear about him. They talk to this lady, they'll hear about him. They talk to this lady, they'll hear about him. Amen. People have got to hear about Jesus. It's time the church starts to open its mouth and speak about Jesus. Man, I'm starting to beat up on some of my neighbors about the things of God. They're good friends of mine. I'm not beating up on them. That's the wrong term. But I'm strengthening things up. And I'm not shying away from things. I recently had a lady. Now, this is not going live, is it, this recording? All right. Oh, good. That's fine. I recently had a friend of mine. Well, not really a friend, just someone I'd forgotten about from 40 years ago or 35 years ago in a workplace situation. Anyway, this person found me on by accident on Facebook. And she couldn't believe it was me, because when she knew me, she was a few years older than me, but when she knew me through work, I was this 17, 18-year-old boy who was super shy and was just a mechanic in the dealership, and you know, I wouldn't say boo and whatever. And she saw me on Facebook and I was preaching and sharing the word of God and the sick are getting healed and so forth. And she responded to one of my Facebook messages and she says, "Tell me, what do I need to do? What do I need to do?" That's what the people said in the book of Acts. What shall we do? What shall we do? She said, and so my wife and I, we FaceTimed her and we spoke for an hour, and in that hour she gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ and got beautifully, totally born again. Like, I mean radically born again. She's on fire for God. She says, "I need to get a Bible. What sort do I get? Where do I get it from? Where do you get Bibles from?" I said, "You need two. You need the New King James, use that to quote from, and you need the NLT because that's easy to read. Get them both. So she got them both. She ordered them the very next day. Ordered them the very next day. She's on fire for God. She's turning her world upside down for Jesus. And just for her person, I'm not going to say all the things, but her life has just been a horrible ordeal from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. Because she didn't know Jesus and she just lived life the way that everyone in the world lives life. Did all the things, thought it was good at the time, but turned out to bring misery. You know, the Bible says the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. You see, that's what happens when you follow the Lord. Think life works out. You still have challenges, but you get through those challenges. And as you go through those challenges, you actually become a better person because of those challenges. Sometimes it'd be nice not to have them. But anyway, that's just with the world we live in. It's an imperfect world, so there's going to be challenges. But when you follow God, you don't only get through those challenges, you become a better person out the other side of those challenges. Those challenges actually, in hindsight, bless you. Although at the time, it's hard to imagine sometimes. But anyway, so here she is. She gives her life to Christ. And she's ordering these brand new Bibles. She's probably got them by now. And so we ministered to her. And then Scotty put up one of my messages on YouTube from we were recently in Melbourne. We had, 65 people give their hearts to Christ in two weekends in Melbourne just recently. Praise God. That's amazing. And a lot of them were young people. Yeah, come on, if you're going to clap, give him some glory. And one of the meetings I had, we did 10 meetings in 9 days, or 8 days rather, 10 meetings. And one of the meetings we did was to the young adults of the church, and there was about 40 of them there. And I preached strong to these young people. I thought, man, these young people, they're all Christians. I can be a bit more media with my teaching. So I really went for it, and I talked about the New Age, talked about sexual immorality. We addressed a whole bunch of stuff, and I just laid it straight out to them. I said, look, you can't be living like this. You can't be doing that. You can't subscribe to this. You can't agree with that. And I just opened up the Word of God in all these areas for them. And this lady, because she's devouring all my teaching on YouTube at the moment, and she comes across that. And the scripture that I quoted on that was, you'll find that, let me just go to that now. That's in Deuteronomy. It's 18 verse 9. Let's try that. It's either 18:9 or 9:18. Here it is, 18:9. I got it right. 18 verse 9. And it says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of the nations. There shall be found among you no one who makes their son or daughter pass through the fire. Well, that's modern day version of that is abortion. Or who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who, how many? All who do these things are abomination to the Lord. And it just goes on. Now that's Old Testament, but that's New Testament as well. That hasn't changed. Anyway, this lady rings me back a few days later. She says, I've done a 360. I said, what do you mean? She says, I did a 360. I was listening to that preach, such and such. And she says, about 3 years ago, she lost her dear mum. And she's had a bit of a rough family upbringing, but her mum was everything to her. Close they were. And she died tragically. And that really, really shattered her world. And she said, I had an air ticket booked. I don't know to where, but an air ticket booked to go to a weekend of ghost hunting. Ghost hunting. That's what they call it. Oh, that's the trendy term for it. In other words, they're going to summons up the dead and get her deceased mum to speak to her, which is not her mum at all. All it is a deceptive familiar spirit that knows enough information about a mum to be able to sound like it really is her mum and be deceived. But in doing that, you would open yourself up to demonic powers and become... You're actually dedicating your life to Satan by incrementally as you do these things. And people don't know. And she said, I had no idea. I had no idea. How will they know unless they hear? And how will they hear unless somebody tells them? So she cancelled the fares, cancelled the course, and got her money back. Glory to God. And she's on fire for God. Yet I spoke to other people in a similar situations and they get the huff and storm off and you never hear from them again. Yet they call themselves Christian. I wonder. I don't think so. Christian because it's convenient. That's not Christian. Glory to God. God's calling us. Oh, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to preach tonight's preach. God is calling us. Let's go to another scripture. We're following the Holy Ghost here this morning. Is that all right? Let's go to Matthew 13 now. I'm going to leave the woman with the issue of blood. We're off into Matthew 13. Now listen to what this says. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Matthew 13. It says, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Then some fell on the stony places, and they did not have much earth. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns. And like the thorns, some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other seed fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some of 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear." He who has ears. Well, everyone's got ears. It's talking about your ears of revelation. It's talking about your ears that take all the filters off, the filters of pride and the filters of intelligence and the filters of, well, I've heard this before and I've heard to it, you know, I've been done this, done that. All that stuff is to put that aside and listen with the ears of your spirit. Let's jump down now to verse 18 where Jesus unfolds what this parable means. He says, "Therefore, hear the parable." Here it is. He's saying it again. Hear it. How will they know unless they hear? And how will they hear unless somebody tells them? You see, the reason why we get filled with the Holy Ghost, apart from being able to fellowship with God and having the buzz and just, you know, being built up in ourselves, is so we can open our mouth and tell people about Christ and tell them about the Word of God. And you're going to say things that will correct them. Just saying God loves you is good to start with, but you just can't stop there because that doesn't change them. What you have to do is say God loves you and he wants to bless you, but do you realize that this thing that you're doing is opening a door to Satan in your life? The Bible says. And then because you've got the Word of God on the inside of you, you just say what the Bible says. Until you and I say what the Bible says, nothing happens. Do you hear that? Nothing happens. When the world was created, it starts off in Genesis 1 and it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Was the what? Word. That's what it says in John 1. In Genesis it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." It says the earth was formless and void and darkness was over the deep. There was chaos everywhere. And that says the Spirit of God, that same Holy Spirit that witnesses to your spirit, The Spirit of God was hovering over the deep. Now, I don't know how long that took. That could have been for 10,000 years. The Holy Spirit was just hovering. And then God said, "Let there be light." As soon as God said, as soon as the word of God was spoken, the Holy Spirit fulfilled exactly what that word was. Until the word of God was spoken, the Holy Spirit just sat there hovering. The Holy Spirit is hovering over many, many people. But sadly, the word of God never is spoken, and so the Holy Spirit is unable, yes, I said unable, to do anything because he only does what the word of God says. There's a scripture, prophets love to quote, this is their favorite scripture. It says, God doesn't do anything unless he first tells his prophets. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it says. And prophets love that scripture because it gives them a good platform, you know. But I agree with it. You ever wonder, that's why we had the prophets in the Old Testament. Like in Isaiah 53, where he says, he was wounded for our iniquities. He was punished for us. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. It's talking about the future when Jesus is going to be sent to die on the cross. So the prophet declares that out, and then the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'm going to make this happen now. And away he goes in the right time. But everything that happens because the word of God was said. You read in Psalm 22, the 22nd Psalm, it starts off, the first words is, my God, why have you forsaken me? The very last words, or one of the last words Jesus spoke on the cross. And then it goes on to talk about how they divided my clothes and they pierced my hands and my feet in way, way back in Psalm 22. David is prophesying and making way for Jesus to be manifested on the earth. The Spirit of God, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Which word? The words of the prophets. Amen. Spoken. But until it's spoken, nothing's going to happen. So we got to sow the seed, the word. And it's not just nice words. It's helpful words. If I'd have just preached a nice sermon, that lady be out there this weekend, actually, she'd be getting filled up with demons at this ghost hunting thing. She would have no idea because she never heard. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, you guys are in the midst of all this. You drive up and down this coast and every tin pot downtown is full of New Age. Which one is it that we've... Oh, Mogo. For goodness sake. Man, you guys could turn that place upside down. You need to send a mission team to Mogo, praise God. Why not? I'm serious, why not? Just go up there and have a church service on a Sunday afternoon in a hall and put a sign up there and see who turns up. You'll get some interesting characters. But they need to hear the word. They're looking for it. They've just never been told. Some of them have got an agenda, but a lot of them have just never been told. Amen. Praise God. So therefore, hear the parable, verse 18, of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. Then this is he who received the seed by the wayside on the stone. So the person who's got the hard heart, it won't go in. Why? Because of pride. It just sits there, nothing happens. Nothing happens. And you can't. And there'll be a certain amount of seed that you will sow where that will just happen. Don't worry, that's Jesus talks about it in the word. Then we move on. This is he who's by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, he gets so excited. Oh, it's like, praise God, so-and-so got
They got born again. You should have seen them. They were smiling up in church. They raised their hands. They've been there twice in a row since. Like, well, isn't that amazing? But they got rocks. They'll be fine until the pastor goes, excuse me, but you know what you guys are doing, this living arrangement you got with your partner, that needs to be, you know, that's not really the way God wants things to be done. Oh, what? I'm out of here. No, I'm not going to be told by you what to do. They're gone. Shallow roots. What's it say? It says as soon as opposition, let's read it. Different versions will say it differently. Stony places immediately with joy, but has no root in themselves, but endures only for a short while. When tribulation or persecution, oh goodness me, we've never got nowhere near that. Man, we've seen them drop out. Well, no such thing as tribulation or persecution. They're words that most of the church has never, ever experienced ever in their life. Come on, Jesus is talking to another whole level here. But as soon as there's a confrontation, as soon as there's a challenge of any kind, they're like, nah, that's not for me. See, that lady, that old friend of mine, she could have said when she heard that, she said, oh man, I didn't sign up for this. No, I'm not having any. If that's what going to church is, I've got to stop doing this. Oh, I'm not going to go to church. Forget about that. I'm out. See, that's what a shallow-rooted person will do. And they'll come while everything's fine, while it suits them. Or they come to church. Oh, look, would you mind getting here early next week? I'd like you to help with this. Oh, no, Pastor, I can't do that. Actually, we're taking a few weeks off. Oh, why is that? Oh, because we got soccer. Soccer's on Sundays and we just can't do church now because soccer's on Sundays. So, you know, maybe later in the year you'll see me again. It's like, no, there's shallow roots. It's not going to work. It's like, flip the soccer. Amen? Regardless. You see, when you become a Christian, it's going to make you will... Let me save yourself, for anybody who's new here, let me save you some trouble. It's going to change a whole lot of stuff in your life. And you have to be willing to let it. And there's a reason why it will change a whole lot of stuff in your life. Because the reason why you became a Christian is because you wanted your life to change. Amen. It wasn't going so well beforehand. Things were going pretty terrible. Life was getting like the woman with the issue of blood. Instead of growing better, she just grew worse. The sorrows of those will increase. And so people want their sorrows not to increase, but they don't want to change anything. You see, that's called repent. Let's look in your Bibles now. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Come on, we're doing a Bible study today. Let the Word of God, you know, the Word of God washes you. Did you know that? When you sit under the Word, when it's preached under the Holy Ghost, it will wash you. You'll walk out feeling clean. You'll walk out feeling set free. It'll deliver you, the Word of God. God sent forth His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions, the Bible says. When the Word of God is set forth over your life, when it's proclaimed over you, it will clean you, it will cleanse you, it will deliver you, it will set you free in the name of Jesus. There's nothing like the Word of God. Let's look at it in the book of Acts. You guys got me all fired up here yesterday. I don't know what happened. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. That's where we're going. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, because they said to Peter, like that friend of mine, what are we going to do? Tell us what to do. And here's what Peter said. He said, repent. In other words, turn your life around. Stop going this way and start to go that way. Your life's been following off your own ideas and what the rest of the world's doing. And here's Jesus. He's walking in the opposite direction. And you just made a decision in your life that you're going to follow Jesus. So that means you can't keep going that way if Jesus is going that way. Because if you keep going that way, you're not really following Him, are you? At best, you're a shallow-rooted Christian. At best. Probably you're like the one on the path. So you stop. This is what you do to be saved. Not once you're saved. This is to get saved. Listen to what it says. Repent and let everyone. Is it for some or is it for all? and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins, so that you can clean off your sins, because you can't get to heaven with a who's, is there any administrators, any accountants here, with a ledger full of sin. It's all on there. It's all recorded. Heaven's got tape recorders and cameras that run 24/7 on every person. You've heard people say this, that when they step out of their body, have those afterlife things, that their whole life flashes before them. Amen. It's like, oh, don't show that bit. We've all got them. Oh, no. Just can we delete that, please? Well, I praise God, because my Bible says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103. And forget not all his benefits. Come on. Here it is. Who forgives, how many? All your sins. Who forgives all, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. Come on, you're in bondage, you're in slavery, you need deliverance. It says he redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things. Here it comes. Some of you are going to grab this. So your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. That's for free, that one. It goes on to say, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Oh, I'm glad that verse is in there. Or pay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Come on. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Oh, why does he know that? Because he came and he was a man, and the Bible says he was sinless. He defeated the devil in every way. He had victory over sin. He resisted. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, but yet was without sin. And my old Living Bible used to say, and he's wonderfully able to help us. Why? Because he identifies with us. He knows he's one of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, don't we, sir? We got to get praying for the sick. I preached some of tonight's message, but I couldn't help myself. And then there's a seed that falls among the thistles and the thorns. You see, the ground is our heart. And there's only enough goodness in the ground to either make the seed grow or the thistles grow. There's not enough nutrients in that ground to make the thistles and the seed grow all at the one time. Either one's going to grow, either one's going to get more and the other's going to get less, or vice versa. What are they? Let's read quickly what they are, and then we'll close out this scripture. Here we go. Let's go back. Endures only a short while. For tribulation and persecution arises because the word immediately he stumbles. Now, here we go. Now, he who received the seed among the thorns is like he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So once again, people don't want to have to put aside any of their old traditions, any of their ways of life. My friends, when we do altar calls in churches a lot nowadays for salvation, we're making it very upfront. This is gonna take everything you've got to follow Jesus. It's not gonna work unless you do this wholeheartedly. If you're not sure, don't bother. If you really want to follow Christ, it's going to change your life for the rest of your life. It's going to set you up to win in every situation. And not only that, you're going to feel free. You're not going to have guilt. You're not going to go through what other people have had to go through because of the stuff that they've been deceived by. You'll recognize the truth. You'll be able to navigate. You'll have a body of believers and a family of God all around you to walk with you when you do face trials and hard times. And not only that, you'll, when you breathe your last and step out of your body, you'll walk into heaven. You'll be welcomed. The Bible says you'll be transported there by the angels. That angels will carry you into the presence of God. Or the others will have demons will drag them into the pit with screaming and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. God's calling us to be wholehearted, calling us to believe, calling us to speak, calling us to lay our hands on the sick and they shall recover. This woman with the issue of blood, she'd spent all she had, but she heard about Jesus. And the Bible says she came up behind him, for she said to herself, if only I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. I shall be made well. That's all she had to have was a confession. All she needed was a mustard seed of faith. The Bible says that you only need to have a mustard seed of faith. If you've got that, you can say to a mountain, move, and it will go. Only do not doubt in your heart. You've got to have faith without doubting, and just a small amount of faith, you can see the greatest miracles take place. How do you know if you've got faith? Well, first of all, you turned out to church. Amen. You're here. Not only are you here, but if you want to respond for prayer, that's all the faith you need to have. All you need to do is just to reach out and believe that God wants to touch you, that he wants to heal you, that he loves you, that he wants to set you free. The Bible says in Titus 2, it says, the grace of God has been revealed to all men, bringing salvation to all men and women, of course. So the grace of God brings healing. It brings salvation. It brings deliverance. It brings freedom to all who would come after it in Jesus' name. So whether this is your first time in this meeting this morning or whether you're a regular in this church for years, I'm telling you, the power of God wants to meet you right where you're at today. Can we just start to run that soundtrack, please, when you're ready up the back? And so right now, I'm going to open up the front here and we'll start to pray for the sick. I just want to have an idea of who I've got here today. If you need prayer for healing in your bodies, just give me a wave, just so I can see how many. Praise God. Now, I have to follow the order that the Holy Spirit gives me here. I want to pray to start with for people who've got pain in your body right now. You've got a lot of pain. Just give me a wave if that's you. You've got pain, all right? Those who've got pain, I've got four chairs out here, and we'll soon get through them. Would you just come out of your seat if you've got pain right now in your body? It's you. It's not someone else that you're coming for. It's only yourself. Just come and grab a seat over here. And Graham, would you mind taking this away for me, please? Praise God.